I'm going to dive into part four. And I don't have a lot of stuff to cover in part four. Most of it's written down there, and so I trust you can read. And so what I'd like to do is kind of talk about that a little bit, what's there. I'd like to perhaps dive into that question that came up about kind of the difference between prophecy and interpretation of tongues out of 1 Corinthians 14, and then perhaps answer any other questions that have kind of come up to your mind that maybe you were afraid to ask Brenda, because I know she can be kind of scary and stuff, and so. Yeah, she gets intense, doesn't she? And as it goes on, she gets, like, more intense, you know, and she's teaching a three-day workshop at the women's conference. She's, one of the main speakers, and she's got, like, 300 women that signed up for her workshop. It's 3 days long. I can imagine by the end of it, she will be totally ramped up. And it's going to take her weeks to come down from that. It's fun. I like it. I like seeing people exercise the gifts that God's given to them in those kinds of ways. So, before I jump into this, any questions, any things that have kind of dialed up that you'd like to dialogue about first? I'm going to go on for about 15 or 20 minutes, then we're going to do some more ministry. So it's just enough time to just, like, for me to ramble on and you to finish eating before we start praying for each other and stuff. Any questions, anything kind of dialing up that you'd like to say, what about this, what about that? Okay, well, if it does, just throw something at me. Like a brownie. Dreams and visions, part four. I don't know what page that is for you. 12. Mine's 20. Dreams and visions, part four. First of all, just some biblical foundations. And what we're going to do is, in each of these things for dreams and visions, we're going to look at kind of the biblical foundations and then some experiential foundations for both of these. First of all, biblical, we see that God, you know, really throughout scriptures, speaks through dreams. He speaks to his prophets through dreams. He speaks to leaders. There's great examples there. Abimelech, Genesis 20, verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, "You are as good as dead because the woman you have taken, she is a married woman." You know, I'll get to that in a little bit, I guess. I've got a great story. I've got a vineyard story here in Duluth just like that one. And it just cracks me up every time I read that one I'm going to have to tell it. Because a guy came to me and said, at one point he said, "I had a nightmare." And I go, "What was your nightmare?" He goes, "God showed up." And I'm like, "Really?" You know, for some people that's a nightmare because he'd never had a nightmare like that. And I said, "Well, what did God say?" And he said that the woman I was sleeping with, you know, to get out of her bed, you're ruining her life. I'm like, "What'd you do?" He goes, "I grabbed a blanket and I slept on the couch and I came to church the next day." And so it was pretty cool because you're able to introduce him to Jesus, able to really lead him to the Lord and begin to disciple him. So even today, God still speaks through dreams just like this. That one always makes me giggle. Pharaoh in Genesis 41, 2 full years had passed. Pharaoh had a dream. Solomon, Nebuchadnezzar. So God speaks through dreams to his prophets, he speaks through dreams to leaders, and he speaks through dreams to average people. My story was one of those. You can look in Genesis and you can look at the story with the cupbearer and the baker, Jacob. There's a soldier in Judges, there's people in Job, and then, of course, the wise men speaking through dreams. Why does God speak through dreams? Well, I think, you know, there's several reasons that we see biblically. To reveal parts of the future, to give direction or encouragement, to warn us of things that are coming up. I love the one in Matthew chapter 2. Well, that's Matthew 2. That's the one about the Magi right there in Matthew 2. But there's one where he warns Joseph in Matthew 2:22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And so there's lots of different places where God actually warns people in dreams. Pilate, Matthew chapter 20, Pilate's wife. Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat. Of course, he was judging Jesus. His wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." And so there's somebody that's not even a follower of Christ. You know, there's somebody who's not a Christian, and God's warning them in a dream. So there's warning going on. There's blessing going on. Point E there, may God speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and to keep him from his pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword, Job 33. So God does speak through dreams. He speaks to leaders. He speaks to prophets. He speaks to ordinary people. He speaks for lots of different reasons, but not all dreams are from God, are they? Have you ever had dreams that are not from God? And there's lots of different ways and things that those come, you know, ways that comes about. Dreams may be just your mind dumping. Ecclesiastes 5:3, dreams come when there are many cares, lots of things that we're worried about. I always hold, you know, dreams or visions or prophetic insight that God gives me, as Brenda was talking about, with an open hand. And one of my favorite jokes is, I'm not sure if this is from God or if this is because of the pizza I had last night. And I can almost always say that, because I had pizza last night. And so, or it could be the nachos, but, you know, it's going to be one of those two. And so, not all dreams are from God. It could be just your mind dumping. Sometimes people actually make up divine dreams. Jeremiah 23. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? And dreams can also come from deceiving spirits. A picture there out of Zechariah chapter 10. So non-Christians, we already talked about this, can have divine dreams. There's unbelieving leaders that he gives dreams to, average unbelieving people. How do we interpret the dreams? How do we begin to deal with them? What do we do in order to kind of address some of these things? Interpretation, first of all, originates with God. So you see the cupbearer, you see the baker, you see even Pharaoh, or you see King Nebuchadnezzar having dreams, and you see how God's the one who gives the interpretation. He's the one that does this thing. He's the one that can show us what they really mean. So Joseph said to them in Genesis 40, do not all interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. And God usually gives, biblically, the interpretation at some point. We see in the Bible that somewhere along the way, God usually gives an interpretation when he really is giving a dream and he wants you to know what it means. And sometimes it can come to you. Sometimes God gives another person the interpretation. There's been many times in my life where I've had a dream where I feel like, man, that might be from God. I'm not sure. And so I'll tell Brenda. I'll pray about it for a little bit. I might tell a friend or two. And over the course of a year or sometimes more, all of a sudden something begins to make sense about something that God's doing. Not very often, it comes really quick. Like it's just really obvious that this is God. Or you don't even need an interpretation because, you know, I knew one pastor that was a really good friend of mine that I was serving under. He, one Saturday morning, I think it was a Sunday morning, he woke up. Pretty early, and he had a dream about two of his leaders, both women involved in a sexual relationship. And in his dream, he saw them. And so he was praying what to do. You know, what do I do with this thing? Is this just my mind dumping? Is this God? And he felt like God was saying, this is me, go talk to him. And so he just called them both, you know, as service was getting started that Sunday morning and said, tell me what's going on. What's going on between the two of you? And they just confessed. They said, wow, how'd you know? You know, and they just talked about it openly. And he goes, well, God showed me last night. And so, you know, sometimes it doesn't need a lot of interpretation. You just need to kind of go gently check it out. But notice the way he did that. He just said, hey, tell me what's going on with you guys. He didn't come and say, God showed me, you know, this and this and this. And so it's, again, there's that tentativeness and there's that way to express that. So some experiential foundations, the benefits of dreams, they can give us a greater understanding of events occurring around us, through us, to us. They can reveal things which our rational mind would not normally be open to. Significant impact on our attitudes, actions, emotional states can give us warnings, encouragement, and direction. Thoughts about dreams? Questions, comments? Ever had a dream you felt like might be from God? Yeah, Did it kind of bear itself out that way? Lynn. Makes a lot of sense that it would take a long time for that to kind of come to fruition. Exactly. I mean, you're his mom, and you're talking about your son, and you guys are going to be alive for a long time together. And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, some things like that do take a long time. That's good. Yeah. Diana. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Cool. Sandy. Yeah. That's very good. So not every dream is from God. But God can speak to us biblically through our dreams. And I think it's good to be open to that. It's good to be listening to God. When I wake up and I remember a dream, which is not often, when I wake up and remember a dream, that's usually something is, you know, is either telling me I just dreamed it or that maybe God might be speaking something to me to it and through it. And so next point here is there's different types of dreams, different types of divine dreams. There's dreams about ourselves that deal with specific heart issues, for instance. In Daniel 2, as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know that the interpretation and you may understand what went through your mind. So Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar and saying, hey, here's why you had this dream, and here's why I'm here to interpret it so that you might have a greater understanding about dealing with some of the things about yourself. Concern about our own personal longings or opinions or emotions. It could be a dream that just, you know, a healing dream where we're actually receiving love from somebody in our life that never gave it to us, or learning how to give love to somebody that, you know, or forgiveness in areas that we would never have done before. It could be predictive, like Joseph's dream. It could relate to God's calling on our lives. As I was studying in the vineyard to be a vineyard pastor, this is long after I had studied to be a pastor and decided I didn't want to be one of those guys, you know, and went to art school and all that stuff, I kind of got hooked up with some guys that were planting a vineyard church, and I began to really pursue what would it take now to be a pastor in this movement, in Association of Vineyard Churches. And one night before going to a conference that was all geared towards training pastors, I had this dream that I walked into this auditorium that had a really small, like, front area. Instead of the stage being up, the front area was down, and then the chairs all went up kind of in this big semicircle from there. And I walk into this place, and the first time I walk into it, there's an usher at the door, pretty big, burly-looking guy, probably like me now. And so I walk up to him, and he goes, "Why do you think you belong here?" And I go, "I don't know, I was just walking by and checking out the place. It looked like a cool building." And that's all I said. And he kicked me out. And then all of a sudden, it's a bit later in my dream, and somebody's bringing me to this place. We walk by that same usher, and I'm like, "Dude, I think I know that guy." And the guy walks me right up to the podium pulpit thing, which is halfway up where the chairs are. Now, this dream was about 15 years ago. So it's still pretty clear, right? And that's not normal for me. And so when I woke up the next morning, I thought, well, this is amazing that I remember all these details. So he walks me up there, and he says, "You're the new pastor. You speak." And I knew exactly what to say. And I knew I was supposed to make 3 points. And he said, "Whatever you do, don't say this." And that was my second point. And so I made my first point and got everybody laughing. But it's kind of funny because we're all up on the chairs looking down to this little small section where there's nothing. It's just a little small section of the floor. And so I made my first point, and everybody laughed. I made my second point, and they got kind of angry. I made my third point, and half of them left. And then I found myself saying, "Great, now we've got something we can work with." And I walk down to the front, and there's all these boxes of shoes, like running shoes. And I start unpacking boxes, and I knew exactly which shoe would fit which person, and started handing them out. And I woke up, and I go, "That's the weirdest thing in the world." And I didn't have any, I couldn't, now, even telling it to you guys, some of you guys are going, "Oh, I could see what that means," right? I couldn't figure out a thing about it. I just thought, that is weird. I just ticked off half a church and they left. It's like, I don't think that's good. And I told to my friend that I was hanging out with at the time, his name is Rick Barnhart, I told it to him, and he goes, you know, I think that's God. And I go, well, what's the whole thing with the shoes? And he goes, well, you're going to actually be showing people how to use their gifts and releasing them so they can go do it. Because I gave him shoes, and I said, now you have your assignments, let's go. Let's go do the ministry. And we left the building. We didn't need the building anymore, and we were the church, but we were out on the street. So it's kind of a cool dream. Well, God's done that in my life. But that was, like, you know, a long time. And so over a process of years. So sometimes they can relate to God's calling on our lives. They can reveal our condition at the time, like Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 4. Sometimes false dreams from the evil one. They're accusing, frightening, they're sensual, they fill us with fear. We've probably all experienced that kind of stuff. Sometimes illness, pregnancy, or different foods are the cause of our dreams. Pizza. Fleshing dreams often run us through the events of the day. No divine message here. You know, we have dreams where we just replay all the conversations of the day. Has that ever happened to you guys? Oh, man, it's like, it wasn't painful enough to live through it once. I got to live through it again. You know, it's like crawling over broken glass on my belly. I just want to get up and, like, go do something else for a while because it's not restful to sleep. But that's not necessarily a divine message there, you know. It's just kind of our minds fleshing and getting rid of stuff. Dreams about others, not just about ourselves. People, nations, cities, the church. Very likely these dreams are calling us to pray, calling us to really begin to intercede for maybe a people group or a city or a specific church or specific community. Repeated dreams of this kind may indicate, and you can see this in Genesis 41, that something's going to happen coming right up. I've talked to people who have had dreams, you know, sporadically, and all of a sudden they're having the same dream of something happening like every night, and then bingo. I mean, God shows up and begins to do something. And I've talked to several pastors that have had those kinds of experiences. This category of, you know, that we're talking about right here, dreams about other people, really represents about 5% of dreaming for most people. Steve Nicholson jotted down that statistic. I don't know where he got it, but I'll just take him at his word. He's an older pastor than I am. So prophetic people may have many dreams like this, but usually after a history of self-dreams and having allowed God to work significantly in their own lives. You know, there's so much that we don't have time to talk about with this issue of character. And allowing God to actually do stuff in your own life to get you to a point where you're not getting your own needs met by operating out of prophetic gifting. That you're actually there to serve. You're actually there to bless and encourage other people. That it's not about you looking good. And there's just so much that we could say and talk about that aspect of it for hours. I have seen nothing derail more prophetically gifted people than that. It's the number one thing that derails people that are really prophetically gifted is that they're really focused on themselves and what they're going to get out of it. So interpreting dreams, first of all, determine if it was a dump or a dark dream from God. There's some good notes there. Writing down dreams right away. When you remember a dream, it's really helpful when you wake up and you remember it to have something there to write it down. Just write it down. You know, lots of books, lots of psychology books tell you that this is a good practice. And it helps you kind of get rid of the stuff and kind of get it out there. And so when I feel like I have a dream that's really significant, yeah, I go right into the office. I go right in over to my laptop, and I just start writing it down. And then what that does is that also helps me pay more attention so that I can remember some of those things easier. Now, for me, about 95% of my dreams are just dumping dreams. And so after a while, you learn you don't have to write all those down. You know, there's not much that much help, especially if it's fear or sensuality that is bringing up in me. It's like, why do I need to dwell on that some more? I don't need to. I just ask God to wipe that away. You know, my mind's a bit like a whiteboard, and God's got the eraser, and he can just wipe it right off there. So writing down, yeah, nightmares, evil dreams, yeah. Yeah, it could be both. It could be that God's allowing something to bubble up to the surface that you need to deal with. It could be that the enemy is pressing in there. And so if you guys are having dreams that you feel like lots and lots of negative dreams that leave you with bad feelings or leave you with insecurity or fear or sensuality or those kinds of things, then I just get prayer for that. And there's been a couple instances in our lives where we've had that kind of thing going on. And we just get people to pray for us. And then there's been many people that have had come to me and asked for prayer. I think it's because I shaved my head. And so they come to me and they ask for prayer. And they say, you know, could you pray for me about this area of life and about my dreams? And I do. And it's like they stop like that night. And so it's one of those things that you can take authority over, you know, that God gives us authority over in our lives and in the community with one another. We can break the power of some of that stuff. And you'll know it's the enemy because you can pray for it and it's gone. I mean, he just gets rid of it. And if God's bubbling stuff up to the surface that he wants to deal with, then, and he'll do that through dreams as well, then as you're praying, that'll become more and more clear as well. That here's the area in my life that God really wants to bring healing. Yeah, I just thought of about 9 examples of those, but we don't really have time for that, so. It could be, yeah. Joanne asked if nightmares or if you're having a lot of horrific nightmares, could that be something from God? And, you know, depending on what you're putting into your mind and all that. Yeah, I mean, I think it could be from God in terms of he's bubbling stuff up and saying, this is in your life, do you want it? You know, how do you like living with the consequence of it? Cool. So ask God for the interpretation. Check your Bible. We often find in Scripture pictures or symbols that are very similar to things that are going on in our dreams. Dreams are very symbolic, and so it's really helpful to kind of go back to the Word and look at that stuff. There are whole books out there that you can take anything too far. Here's an example of that. There's whole books out there that all they are is the symbols and numerology of the Bible. And so if you have a dream with the number 11 in it, that means this and this and this. And it's like, you know, that could or could not be the case. And it's not that helpful. I have not seen it long-term helpful in people's lives to really just dive into that to make that your life. And so keep Jesus as your life and really allow him to reveal whether or not some of those things really mean that to you or whether they don't mean that to you in that specific case. Consider your dream vocabulary. We talked about that. And you can take a look at that. Sometimes you'll see the exact same thing coming up in your dream over and over and over again. As a last resort, seek help from those who are known to interpret dreams. Don't seek interpretation from friends, really. It's not necessarily that helpful. They know you really well, and they just want the best for you, and sometimes they won't, you know, it's not always that helpful. And so I talk to my friends about it, but I've found that most of what they tell me doesn't really help me figure it out. I love this. Remember that God is trying to speak to you. And if he wants to speak to you, he will enable you to understand what he's trying to say. God's a really good communicator. He's a lot better than you or I. And so if he wants to get his point across, he's going to figure out a way to do it in our lives. And so remember that God's the one that's trying to speak, and we can trust him. We can kind of relax and trust him in that. And then I love Ecclesiastes 5:7. You know, don't base your life on dreams. Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. And that's really got to be the focus as we're talking about this stuff. Visions, very quickly. Biblical foundations of visions. God speaks through visions much like he does through dreams, only you're awake through visions. He speaks to prophets. He speaks to his people. You know, he shows us in visions judgment and blessing and angelic figures. You know, his glory, the plans of God, the appearance of the Lord, sins of God's people, the actions of God's enemies. He shows us other people. There are just a multitude of stories that we could tell about how God speaks through visions in different kinds and different ways. There's been just a few times in my life where, awake with my eyes wide open, God has shown me really specific things. And it's specific things in terms of how he wants to use me or what he's specifically doing in other people's lives. And so one of the first instances that just shook me to the core, I'm standing in front of a group similar to this. I'm teaching about how God gives creative gifts from Exodus 31 and 32. He gives gifts of artistic creativity and music and all these different kinds of things. And I'm teaching a group of younger people, you know, in their 20s or something. I was probably in my 20s. I don't remember. But I'm teaching a group of people like that. And and talking about those kinds of things. And all of a sudden, very, very clearly, as I'm talking, little symbols appeared over everybody's heads. Now, I don't think absolutely everybody, but like 99% of the people in the room, little symbols appeared over their heads. And I'm like, I'm trying to talk, I'm trying to stick with my text, but I'm like looking over the top of people's heads going, well, there's a guitar over here. Do you play guitar? You know, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me that God was saying, here's how I've gifted these people in this room. Release it and pray for them. And man, the ministry time was phenomenal. I basically just had to stop teaching and go, okay, so God's doing this now. And like for you, you're artistic and there's this paintbrush thing. And for you, there, you know, and it just kind of went on and on. And I was like, well, that was weird. You know, I went home that night and didn't sleep for 3 days. You know, it was cool. But God does that sort of thing. We find that throughout Scripture. And we find that really in our own experience as we kind of press in to that stuff. Possible reactions to vision. Comfort, fear of God. I like that. There's some great, you know, I don't know, do you guys ever like take these notes home and kind of look up the passages and read through them? It's really helpful to do that. I love this fear of God under Roman numeral 3, letter B. There's some cool things that when people actually saw what God was doing, they almost wet themselves. And there's a real cool fear of God thing going on there. Overwhelming sense of awe, pain, bewilderment, fear, trembling, exhaustion, illness, confusion, speechlessness, anguish, helplessness. You know, the reason that those are all listed out there is because there are lots of possible reactions when we actually see God begin to work, you know, and our eyes are open. And we're watching this thing, and it's supernatural. All from you know, falling down and wetting ourselves in fear, all the way to the last letter there, no reaction whatsoever. And so there's not always like this set, you know, prescription that things have to be like this and this and this and this, or it's not really from God. One of the things that we find in the Bible is that God works lots of different ways in lots of different people's lives, and so you don't have to try to always fit it into a box. What's the difference between a vision and a trance? There's really very little difference. Here's a great example of that. Acts chapter 10 calls Peter's experience a trance in Acts 10:10. But in 10:17, talking about the exact same experience, it's called a vision. And so, you know, the only possible difference could be that a trance seems to always occur with the eyes open. Visions can occur with the eyes open and closed. Frankly, who cares? You know, it's kind of one of those deals that's like, you know, how much difference does it really make? And so there's some great stuff there. Types of visions, internal. Yeah. Yeah. Using the quote out of Joel 2. I'm not really sure the difference there. I've heard lots of people explain it in different ways. It's all extra biblical explanation, and so it's nothing that we really find really clearly laid out about why the old men dream dreams and the young men see visions. I've heard funny explanations. I've heard really stupid explanations of that, and to me, it just doesn't seem to make a lot of difference. Here's the deal: God wants to speak to his people. And he's going to do it in lots of different ways for lots of different people. And I just want to be open to all of it, you know, the whole thing that's going on there. And so, you know, John was an old guy in Patmos, and he had a pretty clear vision. That's right. But in Joel, it says your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams kind of thing. I think it's the way that goes. But John, here's John, an old guy. And he gets the book of Revelation. Pretty stinking cool vision. And so, you know, I don't know that there's something really specific to that that we need to kind of tie ourselves up with or try to worry about. But that is a really good question, because I've heard lots of teaching on that. Most of it just is extra biblical. It doesn't really matter. Again, keep Jesus the main thing. Let's focus on him and then let him communicate to us really in any way that he wants to communicate to us. So types of visions, internal, external. There's times, look at the internal there, seen with the spiritual eye. Sometimes they're missed because they're so subtle we think we just made it up, flashes across our minds, may not have even been praying. There's times where something will just flash across my mind really quick. And it's kind of like, you know, did I just really think that? Or was there a shadow that just went by and it made me think that? And, you know, a bird flying overhead. And there's lots of times like that. And I've learned over the years to try to just kind of pull back for a second and go, okay, God, what did I just see? And was that you? And if it wasn't God, oftentimes it's like I can't even dial it back up. You know, I can't hit rewind and replay it. But oftentimes if it is God, all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I see it again. Okay, I get what you're trying to say. And that happens to me a lot, and I'm trying to think of a specific instance, but I can't dial it up right now. Well, the whole thing, you know, here's the way you figure it out. If your eyes are open, I call it a vision. If you're unconscious, your eyes are closed, call it a dream. I mean, it's just, yeah. And so, you know, people who say that they see angels, or, you know, we were worshiping and I saw these angels and that was really cool. And there's been a few times in my life where one of them was just a couple weeks ago. It made me remember it again, where I'm just kind of going about the business of like setting up, or I'm playing with my kids, or I'm doing other kinds of things. And all of a sudden, I'll see these different colored lights and they just kind of like come on, you know, like all this stuff. And I remember asking somebody once who was pretty prophetic, what do you think that is? And they go, oh, that's angels. I'm like, okay, cool. It looks like phosphorescence, you know, in the air or something like that. And I'm like, I don't know if they're angels or not, but like, yeah, I don't know. So I kind of like try not to just symbolically attach lots of meaning to those kinds of things. I just say, well, God, what are you doing? You know, because I don't want to live in some dreamy symbolic world all the time. Well, I like to visit there once in a while, but, you know, it's not where I want to call home. That's good. Does that make sense? Cool. And interpreting visions. They're usually not as symbolic as dreams. They're much more literal, and the meaning may or may not be fully understood by the person who's experiencing it. So there's the end of our notes. Somebody had talked briefly about 1 Corinthians 14, about the difference in tongues and prophecy. Oftentimes, what people will do is they'll interpret tongues as a prophetic word, or even worse, just as a blessed thought. Let's look really quickly at the difference between these gifts. Follow the way of love. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 14:1, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For those who speak in a tongue do not speak to other people but to God. What do we call that when you're not speaking to other people but to God? It's a prayer. Exactly. Okay? Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But those who prophesy speak to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Those who speak in a tongue edify themselves, but those who prophesy edify the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather even prophesy. Those who prophesy are greater than those who speak in tongues, unless they interpret so that the church may be edified. So just basically just taking that little paragraph right there, what we learn from Paul about tongues is it's prayer. It's communication that nobody else can understand. It's between me and God. Now, there are other forms of tongues that we see in the Bible, and this isn't a seminar on tongues. We can do that later, and we can pray that you all get released in tongues, because it's been a huge benefit to my life, and I'd like to pass it on and share it with you. But that's not the purpose today. The purpose today is talking about prophecy. The difference is that prophecy is talking to people. And so if you have somebody who stands up to give an interpretation for a tongue, but that they've learned over the years in their church experience that that has to be something that's like addressing people, like God is saying to us, yada, 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 you know, whatever the yada happens to be, then that's probably probably a prophetic word, but it's not an interpretation of the tongue. Because an interpretation of the tongue is going to be a prayer. It's a whole different kind of deal. Does that make sense? And it's easy to get those things confused, but they're different. And Paul makes them it's very clearly different right there. And so sometimes after a tongue, you know, spiritual gifts inspire faith. And so somebody might have a word of prophecy and, you know, want to give that. But it's not the same thing as the interpretation of the tongue. It's a whole different purpose there, a whole different thing going on. And when I have heard a correct interpretation of a tongue, And I've heard that a few times, and it's really cool. The kind of prayer that we're praying is not something that would have been like our normal prayer. Oh, God, help, you know. Oh, God, I've been deep doo-doo. I need a lot of help here. You know, there's other things. It's kind of, it's a more in-depth prayer. It's more in-depth communication with God. Sweet. So that was like a whole seminar by itself in 2.5 seconds. What, anything else? Q&A is about to end and ministry time is about to begin. So how do you identify with kids, the difference between a dream, whether it's a spiritual attack? You know, prayer. That's a good thing. It works. One of the things that we've done over the years, and actually Brenda teaches on this quite a bit in Power Healing 2, I think. And so it'd be a good thing to kind of get the notes, and I think we have discs available and you can listen to it in detail. But one of the things that we've done just really simply with our kids is we just kind of just pray over them in the midst of that going on and ask God to bring us peace. And there's one point with my oldest son when he was a little kid where he's waking up like, wasn't it every night for a month? And he's just like, oh, we wanted to slaughter each other. You know, we wanted to, everybody wanted to move out of the house. I mean, it was getting under our skin. It's like none of us were getting a good night's sleep. It was just a nightmare, you know, living through it. And we just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I can't remember what finally happened at the end, but eventually it quit. And, you know, able to go back to normal life. But.
We actually had to, I got a word from the Lord. And we were just learning about prophecy and spiritual warfare. And God said, I mean, we were praying and trying to get discernment on it. And like he said, we were about to, like, kill the kid and each other. And I felt like God said, the enemy is trying to divide or set father against son here. Because I was experiencing a little more grace for it than he was. He was really upset about it. And so I said that to him. And then we realized, wait a minute, this is the enemy. The enemy's the enemy here. Problem's not the kid or dad's lack of grace or anything like that. So we put him on the bed in between us and started to sing a worship song over him. And within a minute, he stopped crying and went to sleep. And the next night when he cried, we just immediately put him on the bed and started to sing over him a worship song. And within seconds, he quit. And the third night, it didn't happen anymore because the enemy knew that is all we were going to do was worship every time that this happened. And so it was just a tactic of the enemy to try to bring division in our family when we're vulnerable and tired at night. And we didn't know, you know, how the enemy works. And so as we were learning about it, God just gave us what we needed to do to kind of gird ourselves up and put on the armor of God in that area. And so then it didn't work anymore.
That's pretty cool that you remember that.
That's so. The end of the story.
Yeah,
that's cool. We need each other still.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you could start singing over me at night.
I could. Could you stop snoring over me at night?
That's good.
Because I could sleep a lot better.
Maybe if you sang over me, I would stop.
But next time you snore, I'm just going to start singing out loud.